It's time for light that darkness can't defeat. It's time to escape from the shadow of death and into abundant life. For the people living in darkness have seen a great light, and those living in the shadow of death, a light has dawned. Welcome to the Great Light Program with David Oyedepo Jr. Get set to arise and shine, because your light has come.
Walking in dominion. And we're looking at it particularly today under the caption, by engaging the light of scriptures. Walking in dominion by engaging the light of scriptures. Let us begin today by recognizing that light is one of the most valuable assets in the life of the believer. Light. If you check through creation, you will discover that before any other thing came, God began with light. Everything that God does begins with light. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 3. The Bible says, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. Every other thing followed light. As it was at creation, so it is with redemption. Everything that a man can desire follows after light. And that is why the pursuit of light becomes the most valuable journey that any individual can go on. Let's also recognize that engaging the light from scriptures is one way in which we can walk in dominion in this world of darkness. In Psalm 74 and verse 20, the Bible said, have respect to the covenant, because the dark places of the earth are full of the habitation of cruelty. So the word of God makes us understand that the earth is full of dark places. And the only thing that gives authority and dominion in the midst of darkness is light. John chapter 1 verse 1 to 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was light, and the light was life, and the life became the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. The only answer to light, to darkness, is light. The only answer to darkness is light. The only way to have dominion over darkness is light. And that is why we must recognize that we are constantly engaged in a battle against the powers of darkness. And our only avenue for victory is the armor of light. The Bible, speaking in the book of Ephesians 6, verse 10 down to verse 12, it said, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. It said in verse 11, put on the armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the wiles of the devil. It said in verse 12, it said, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Their rulership is in darkness. So our dominion is only found in light. No wonder the Bible admonishes us in Romans 13 and verse 12 to put on the armor of light. The moment light is present, darkness is dominated. So all we must recognize, therefore, that in order for us to enjoy dominion in life and in destiny, what you and I require is access to light. And this month for you shall be a month of light indeed. Amen. Somebody believe it, say a louder amen. Amen. I said somebody believe it, say a louder amen. Amen. This month shall be a month of light indeed. Amen. In Isaiah 60 verse 1 to 3, it said, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. It said, for darkness will cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. He said, Gentiles shall come to thy light, and the kings to the brightness of your rising. He goes on to tell us in verse 8, who are these that fly as the clouds and the doors to their windows? In verse 15, it says, he said that you that was forsaken and forgotten, he will turn you to an eternal excellency, the joy of many generations. And verse 22, he said, a little one shall become a thousand, a small one a strong nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in his time. All at the frequency of light. You see, the light that anyone has is what ultimately determines their dominion. I see light coming your way in the name of Jesus. You believe it? Say louder, amen. I said, I see light coming your way in the name of Jesus. We heard the testimony of the family that just came upon the altar. And one of them said, and the husband said that he had a visitation and an encounter. And God gave him a word. What was the word? I will give you twins twice. And he said, I went about telling everybody, this is what God has said. He's given me twins twice. The person who has not had one successful child arrive was announcing everywhere, he will give me twins twice. And he said, we came here to testify with the first set of twins. And here we are again with the second set of twins. Why? With one word, the hold of barrenness was broken. I don't know what may have been holding any department of your life, but the word and the light that will shatter the darkness is coming your way in this season. Somebody believe it, say louder, amen. Somebody believe it, say a louder amen. It's important for us to understand, therefore, that it is this light that ultimately determines dominion. Now, while the word is light, our understanding of the word is what gives light. The word is light, but our understanding of it gives that light to us. The Bible made it clear, we saw in John chapter 1 verse 4 and 5 in particular, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness cannot comprehend it. But Psalm 119 verse 130 says, the entrance of the word giveth light. The entrance, the assimilation, the understanding, the revelation of the word giveth light and understanding to the simple. So it is our understanding of the word that gives light to us. That is why Paul the apostle, praying in Colossians 1 and verse 9, he said there that God will give unto you the, you know, wisdom, and that we give, that you fill with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That is gaining access to the light therein. God's servant said in the earlier two services, it is not what you wrote, it is not what you heard, but it is what you see. Light is about sight. It is what you see from the word of God. What comes alive to you from the word of God that empowers you in that area for dominion. Shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. The truth is that if you can see it, you will naturally experience it. If you can see it, you can't doubt what you see. I see somebody's sight in this season experiencing the influx of light in the name of Jesus. You believe it? Say louder, amen. So it is our understanding of the word that gives light. But it's important for us to understand that the word does not only give light, but as the intensity increases, it also turns us to light. It does not just give us light, but as the intensity increases, it also turns us into light. The Bible makes it clear to us in the book of Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14. It said, what? Ye are the light of the world. Not that you have the light, but you are the light. In John chapter 1 and verse 9, the Bible said, "This is the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world." That is, you don't just have light, but you have become an illuminant. You have been lighted. Shout hallelujah. I said shout hallelujah. And that is what God ultimately desires to see each one of us become. That you become an epitome of the light that you have captured. You discover that when you see a stick of matches, that stick carries light. But when you take it to your cooker and put it there, suddenly, not only is the light on the matches, but also the cooker carries the light. It now becomes a lighter, as it were. It carries the light and owns the light that it carries. That is why you find a person that he can light that cooker and he can turn off the matches, but the light is still there. Because the light has caught the cooker and remains there. When the light of God catches your spirit and illuminates it and brings it to life, in that subject, the light remains in your spirit man. You become lighted in that department and you exercise dominion there cheaply. I see that becoming somebody's experience here. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I said, I see that becoming somebody's experience here. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. God's servant has shared severally his experience, how that he began to study and he came to the realization of his position in Christ as he was reading the book, The Apostle of Faith, and saw how this man, Smith Wigglesworth, disdained the devil. He came out in his living room and saw an image rocking on the chair back and forth with horns seated on the chair. And he looked at that image of that personality and said, "I didn't even know it's the devil." He hissed, turned back and went back to sleep. He saw from that testimony in that book the reality of the fact that I'm seated far above principalities and powers. The light struck his spirit. And from that day, he began to walk in the reality of far above mentality. Far above mentality. It not only came as light to him, but also ended up lighting him in that area. You see, that is what takes place the moment you begin to experience the exposure to the light of scriptures. I pray again for each one of us that this very month, you shall begin to experience encounters with light. The kind of encounters you have never had before, you will experience them this season. Somebody believe it, say louder, amen. I said, somebody believe it, say louder, amen. So it becomes important that you and I recognize that it is what we therefore see in terms of light in scriptures that determines what we experience. It is what we see in terms of light in the scriptures that determines what we experience. Genesis 13, verse 14 and 15. The Bible said there, "Look north, look south, look east, look west. As far as your eyes can see, I will give it unto you." As far as your eyes can see. So what you see is ultimately what you experience. I pray again for each one of us that this month, our eyes will see the light of his word. Somebody believe me, say louder, amen. I said, I pray that this month, our eyes will see the light of his word. You believe me, say louder, amen. The moment you begin to see in that dimension, you begin to experience supernatural dominion. I remember when I was sent to my place of last assignment, and I began to ask God, "Lord, what do I need? What do I need to do this task?" And I was studying God's word one day, and I got to the book of Exodus chapter 4. And that became, as it were, the secret that I engaged all through that season. Verse 15 and verse 16. This is what the Bible said there. "And thou shalt speak unto him, and put words in his mouth. And I will be with thy mouth and with his mouth and teach what you shall do." Look at verse 16. "And he shall be thy spokesman unto the people, and he shall be even as he shall be to thee instead of a mouth, and thou shalt be to him instead of God." And from that scripture, God gave me a picture. He said, "My servant is the Moses.
He said, you are representing him to the people. He said, you have become his mouth. Anything coming out of your mouth is coming from him. Anytime you speak, see him speaking. And I remember I was walking the light of that one day, and a demon-possessed person was on the phone, and they passed the phone to me. And I exploded on the phone, and the person hung the phone up quickly and sent a text message. Why did you report me to Papa? As she heard me, she heard him. Why? Because I was walking in the light that I am only a mouthpiece projecting his voice. That whoever hears me is hearing him. And suddenly that was a practical experience. I was there with a pastor. The pastor gave me the phone. And as I opened my mouth, the person hung the phone up quickly and quickly text a message back to that phone. Why did you report me to Papa? She heard his voice through my mouth because I saw a light that in my mouth is his voice. You see, the light that you have ultimately determines the experience that you have. I pray for each one of us today that in this season your eyes will open to light. The light that will give you practical dominion, your eyes will open to it. Somebody believe it, say a louder amen. I said somebody believe it, say the loudest amen. That is why you discover that the greatest or fiercest battle we face is the battle against our access to light. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 4, the Bible said there, it said, whom the God of this world has blinded, that they should not be able to come to the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. The greatest thing the devil fights is our access to light. I pray again for each one of us that whatever veil the enemy may have been using to block our access upon this mountain, the veil shall be torn apart. You believe it? Say louder, amen. But to access light, what must be done? Let's look at these important, valuable keys to gain access to light. Number one, you must be born again. You must be born again. Mark chapter 4. The Bible makes it clear to us in verse 11. Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom, but to them that are without, these things are in parables. Until there is salvation, there can be no revelation. You see, the revelation of scriptures is only made available to those that are saved. That is why the Bible makes clear, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3. It is only through salvation that we can gain access to genuine revelation. Until a man is born again, he cannot experience the light of God. It takes salvation for anyone to encounter revelation. I pray again for each one of us that in this season you will encounter revelation. But that is the starting point. That is the starting point. It is those that are within, those that are in the family of God, that gain access to the secrets of God. The secrets of God are not made available to every individual. They are made available to those that are within the family of God. I pray that for each one today, that will become your experience in the name of Jesus. Number two, and this is very important, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 16, verse 12 to 14, Jesus speaking, he said, there are many things I have to say to you that you cannot handle yet. You can't understand it. He said, yet, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. He said, he will not speak of himself. He will take of mine, he will show it unto you, and he will begin to show you the things that are to come. The Holy Spirit is the ultimate teacher. He's the one who unveils the word of God to us and opens our eyes to the light of scriptures. Shout hallelujah. This is very important. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 10. The Bible said that the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. You see, we must come to understand that the depths of God cannot be searched by the effort of man. Romans 11:33 says, all the depth, both of the riches and the wisdom of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. The intellect of man is grossly incompetent in searching the capacity of God. You cannot locate the secret of God with the mind. What we need is the operation of the Holy Spirit. He said, but his Spirit revealed them unto us. He opens our eyes to see his secrets in his word. I put it this way many times. You see, when a man hides a thing, it takes an effort to find it. Imagine if God hides a thing. What kind of effort will it take a man to find it? It cannot be found. And the revelations of scriptures are the hidden mysteries of God. They are hidden by God and can only be accessed by those who are guided by his Spirit. Until the Spirit of God opens the eyes of a man, that individual remains frustrated in their search of scriptures. I cannot forget, some years ago, a man came and met with me. He had read about 15 books within the commission and particularly was focused on the subject of prosperity. And he began to speak to me in this conversation and ask certain questions. And I discovered that he was a scholar. He was a theological student. And he had studied the books and written even his thesis on those materials. But as we began to speak and began to exchange and began to converse, he began to say certain things that were totally contrary to what was in the books. And I told him, I said, well, I'm not here to argue. You have read the book. Whatever is in the book is the answer to the very same questions you are asking me. Settle down with them and you will find your answer there. After getting a little bit, he said, well, now let us pray. What would you like to pray about? He said, sir, the one thing I want to pray about is I need financial supply. He came to talk about supply. He read about supply, but he could not see anything about supply. And if you know anything about the light concerning prosperity, it is not accessed by prayer. I told him, I said, if you read the book that you are talking about, then you will not ask for this prayer point. Because the prayer point is totally contrary to what you have read. The problem is not that he didn't read it, but he didn't see it. Who makes a man to see it? It is the Holy Spirit. I pray that the Spirit of God will open your eyes to see. And that is why you must be filled with the Spirit of God. You must be baptized in the Holy Ghost with the clear evidence of speaking in tongues. That is the biblical validation of the fullness of the Spirit in the life of a person. Speaking in other tongues. When that begins to take place, the seals of the Spirit begin to open up. And you begin to gain access to the depths of God. You are not left with the stories. You gain access to the mysteries. That will be somebody's experience here. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Number three, subscribe to reading and meditating on the word. Subscribe to reading and meditating on the word. 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 13 and verse 15. The Bible gives us this picture here. It tells us concerning Paul the apostle. He said, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. And in verse 15, he said, neglect not that gift. Verse 15, meditate on these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear unto all. He said, make sure you are reading. Make sure you are meditating. The outcome of that is that your profiting will be visible to all. Shout hallelujah. So we must become committed to the art of reading. Read the Bible. Read books that give you access to the light on certain subjects of your life. Break your life into departments and compartments and use materials to address each compartment. Meditate on the content and you will see your light break forth. That'll be somebody's experience here. in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I said that will be somebody's experience here. In the name of Jesus Christ. You see, light must be protected and given opportunity to grow inside of a person. You discover that if you light a matchstick and you are outside, the wind is blowing. If you don't cover the light will go off. When you read, why do you meditate? You are covering the light, allowing the fire to grow inside of you until your entire system is lighted. So don't just read. Read and meditate. Read and meditate. They asked your servant, our father, a number of years ago, what is your hobby? He said, I read and I think. That is the key to living a lighted life. You read and you meditate. You cover the light and allow the light to saturate your spirit man. By the time you come out from such encounters, you are beaming light yourself. That will be somebody's experience here. In the name of Jesus Christ. Number four, commit to a studious lifestyle like Paul. Commit to a studious lifestyle like Paul. In the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 15, Paul speaking to Timothy said there, he said, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Concerning himself, he spoke in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 13. Look at Paul speaking here. And you see the kind of lifestyle he lived. The cloak I left at Troas with Carpas, when thou comest, bring with thee. And the books, but especially my parchments or my notes. Bring the books and bring my notes. He was a man of books and notes. A man committed to a lifestyle of study. No wonder you found him becoming the epitome of greatness. Paul the apostle was testified of by Peter in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 and 16. Peter said that the things that Paul wrote were things that were hard to be understood. How did this man get there? If you look at the story of Paul, perhaps he seemed like the most disadvantaged apostle. The man who, among the other apostles, never, as it were, ever encountered Christ face to face. He came after all of that. He was a man that was the persecutor of the church. He didn't, as it were, have the advantage that others had, but he studied his way to overtake them. On the basis of a studious life, two-thirds of the New Testament today was written by this man. Your disadvantage is not a resistance to where you are going. Hear this and hear very well. What people look at you and see as a disadvantage, you can overcome by pursuing light. And you do that by living a studious life. Shout hallelujah. Let no moment be wasted. You are in the bus, be studying. You are on your way to work, you can be studying. Take advantage of moments to brighten your light and illuminate your life. When you begin to do this, you empower yourself for a life of dominion. I see that becoming somebody's experience here. May your appetite for study be ignited today. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I said, may your appetite for study be ignited today. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. May your appetite for study be ignited today. In the name of Jesus Christ. Number five. Engage in prayer and fasting for access to the deep things of God. Engage in prayer and fasting for access to the deep things of God. And we have the example of Daniel in scriptures. Daniel chapter 10 verse 1 down to verse 12. Daniel waited on the Lord in a fast. What was his purpose? The Bible said that he did this in order to gain understanding of certain things that he had found in scriptures. He searched and engaged in a fast to see the breaking forth of light. And if you look at the description of the life of Daniel, in Daniel chapter 5, you look at that in verse 11. The Bible tells us concerning this man, Daniel. This man, there is a man in thy kingdom, in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. In the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him. He was a container of light. because he's committed himself, among others, through prayer and fasting to gain access to light. Shout hallelujah. I say shout hallelujah. We must come to understand that you can engage in prayer, engage in fasting to break the resistances to light. There are many things that you may have read and not understood. You may have tried to meditate and not understood it yet. It is because the devil is trying to fight against your access. And the Bible said, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. So no matter what the enemy tries to use to resist your access, when you engage in prayer and fasting, you can destroy that covering and gain access to light. Shout hallelujah. This month, I see that light coming your way. As we engage in the upcoming week of spiritual emphasis, every veil shall be torn apart. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody believe me, say louder, amen. I said somebody believe me, say louder, amen. Let me say this morning, that walking in the light of scriptures is walking in dominion over the powers of darkness. Walking in the light of scriptures is simply walking in dominion over the powers of darkness. You don't need to struggle with darkness, just walk in light. You don't need to struggle with darkness, just walk in light. When you walk in light, you are in practical dominion over darkness. You never see dark light begging darkness to go. The arrival of light is the destruction of darkness. The arrival of light is the destruction of darkness. So keep pursuing after light until you become a light in that area. And in that dimension of life, you find yourself walking in practical dominion. That will be your experience in the name of Jesus. Amen. Somebody believe it, say aloud, amen. Amen. Well, today is our covenant day of restoration. And I tell you, God does not give a name without fulfilling the purpose for which he gave that name. He has called it a covenant day of restoration. Everything concerning you shall be restored today. Somebody believe me, say loud, amen. I said, somebody believe me, say louder, amen. We must begin by understanding that our restoration is the will of God. So you mean my restoration is the will of God. One more time, my restoration is the will of God. In Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17 to 20, the Bible paints this picture of restoration. It said there in verse 17, he said, the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will joy over thee with singing. He will rest in his love. And he goes on to tell us, he said, he will rejoice over thee with singing. And verse 18, it begins to paint to us the picture of restoration. I will gather them that are sorrowful for the solemn assembly, and those to whom the reproach of it was a burden. And look at verse 19. And behold, at that time. Say with me, this is that time. Say louder, this is that time. I will undo all that afflict thee. I will save her that halted, and gather her that was driven out. And I will get them praise and fame in every land where they have been put to shame. Verse 20, at that time I will bring you again, even in that time that I gather you, for I will make you a name and a praise among all the people of the earth. When I turn back your captivity before your eyes, said the Lord. That will be somebody's experience here. I said that will be somebody's experience here. If you are the one, say louder, amen. Psalm 126 verse 1 down to verse 3. It said, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. It said, then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord has done great things for them. He said, and the Lord has done great things for us, whereof we are glad. whatever represents a situation of reproach shall be overturned and restored to you in the name of Jesus. Somebody believe it, say a louder amen. I said, somebody believe it, say a louder amen. It is the will of God for you to experience complete and total restoration. The Bible makes it clear to us that Jesus himself came to reconcile us back to God and to restore all that we may have lost. If you look at scriptures in John chapter 10 verse 10, the thief comes not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I have come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. Whatever the enemy may have taken to discolor your life, by your encounter upon this mountain today, there shall be restoration. I said there shall be restoration. So Jesus came to reconcile us and to restore all that may have been lost. And the good news is that the Holy Ghost came to restore double for our shame. The Bible said in the book of Isaiah 61 and verse 7, in verse 6, Isaiah 61, it began by talking about the outpouring of the Spirit. And in verse 7, it said, for thy shame you shall have double. That will be somebody's experience here. Whatever represents shame, reproach in any department of life, you are receiving double in the name of Jesus. That is the operation of the Holy Spirit. In Joel chapter 2 verse 23 to 26, it tells us there in verse 25 and 26 in particular, he said, and I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, the ones that have consumed the years past. He said, and I will verse, and you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord that has dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. Whatever represents shame in any department of your life is overturned today. Our God is a restorer. He specializes in restoring the things that men think cannot be restored. You see, if a man takes a thing from you, he can return a thing to you. But no man can return time to you. But what did God say? I will restore the years. I will restore the years. The thing that no one can restore. He said, I will restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten. I don't know what your condition may be, but our God is the ultimate restorer, and he will restore unto you what may have been lost. Look at the life of Abraham. Abraham was a man that had been anchoring for one major thing. He wanted a child. By the time the child came, Abraham was 100 years old. Somebody may say, well, thank God for the testimony. But how far will he see this child go? Abraham, at 100 years old, has his son called Isaac. But Abraham died when Isaac was 75. God restored years to him. What nobody thought could be restored, God restored it back to him. And that will be your experience in the name of Jesus. Somebody believe it, say louder, amen. It doesn't matter what it is. You have come to your season of restoration. Now, to secure restoration, the following must be done. Number one, you must receive and believe the word concerning your restoration. You must receive and believe the word concerning your restoration. Job chapter 14 verse 7 to 9. There is hope for a tree that though it be cut down and the tender boughs of that tree are drying up, it seems to bring forth nothing, but yet at the scent of water it will spring forth again and bring forth fruits like a plant. There is hope for a tree. If you want to see the picture of restoration, you can see it in the picture of trees. You can cut down a tree But as soon as that tree stump is taken care of, it will bring forth again. I remember seeing a tree that was pushed by the wind, and the root of the tree was in the ground, and the other part of the trunk hit the ground, and the tree from where the trunk hit the ground continued growing from there. Because as long as there is water, there is hope for that tree. What is the water? It is the word of God. He said in Ephesians 5:26 that we are washed by the cleansing of water by the word of God. The moment God's word is received by a man, no matter how hopeless his condition, it springs forth into a testimony. I see that becoming somebody's experience here. I said, I see that becoming somebody's experience here. One of the testimonies that we saw earlier today that was read in the first service, this woman for 20 years, her marriage had broken down. In 1996, that marriage broke down. Husband went away with a strange woman. Even before that, from the time they married, everything was in turmoil. From 1984 to 1996. And then 1996, it broke down. She joined the commission in 2015. And suddenly her hope came alive. She began to believe God for a testimony and received an instruction from God. You see, the word of God is powerful. And by engaging that instruction from God, it was a 21-day instruction that she received. On the 15th day, the husband called and began to tell the children he's coming home. By the 21st day, the conclusion of that instruction she received from God, the man arrived and began to beg the family. Over 20 years of family separation was restored by a received word. Therefore, in the name of Jesus, as you are receiving this word today, everything that may have been lost, I see it restored unto you speedily. Number two, be committed to serving God and the interest of his kingdom. 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 3 to 6, we find Judah in a desperate situation. Everything good they had been lost. But the Bible said in verse 12 down to verse 15, they made a covenant to serve God, and God gave them rest round about. Therefore, in this season, take advantage of every opportunity to serve God. Serve him. Operation Pray Everywhere is there. Serve him there. One winner, one established soul every month. Serve him there. Engage every opportunity, caring for one another, making sure that every instruction for stewardship is taken. What are you doing? You are positioning yourself for restoration. You are positioning yourself for decoration. You are positioning yourself for projection. The things that nobody ever thought could happen for you again will happen for you in this season. Number three, settle down in the house of God. Settle down in the house of God. A tree has hope as long as it remains planted. Those who are planted in the house of God, they will flourish in the court of our God. The house of God is the place of planting, not the place of passing. Many people get stranded because they keep passing God's house. God's instruction is that you must be planted in his house. Why is that so? Psalm 132, verse 13 to 16. The Bible paints this picture. It said that the Lord has chosen Zion. He has desired it for his habitation. He said, here is my rest, and here will I dwell, for I have desired it. The Lord will abundantly bless her provision and satisfy her poor with bread. He said in verse 16, he said, and I will also clothe her place with salvation, and her saints will shout aloud for joy. Your blessing is located in your planting. I see grace coming your way in the name of Jesus. Finally, continue to seek and pray for the well-being of others. Continue to seek and pray for the well-being of others. The Bible makes clear concerning Job in Job 42 and verse 10. The captivity of Job turned when he prayed for his friends. One little secret you can take is this. Any area where you are expecting restoration, pray for somebody else's restoration. In that area, God visits. Why? Any good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord. As you engage in this covenant keys and accesses. I see restoration answering speedily for you in the name of Jesus. Lift your right hand to heaven and give God thanks for his word. Appreciate him for his word that you've received this morning. Father, thank you. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' precious name, we have prayed. Somebody believe, say aloud, amen.
Someone's knocking at the door. Someone's knocking at the door. Can you hear him knocking? Can you hear him knocking? Jesus, 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 he's at the door.
Say after me, Lord Jesus, I come to you today. I know that I'm a sinner, but I know you died for me, and on the third day you rose again. Jesus, come into my life. Be my Lord and Savior. Take control of me from this day forward. Now I know that I am born again. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Now I pray for you, Father. I thank you today for these precious ones you have drawn into your kingdom. Let the grace that has brought them keep them in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, for each one of them, we decree today that the barriers against their life and destiny be broken in the name of Jesus. Grace to walk with you all the days of their lives. Release it upon them. In Jesus' precious name, we have prayed. Somebody believe, say aloud, amen.
If you have just received Christ as your Lord and Savior, or were blessed through this broadcast, we would love to hear from you. For inquiries and testimonies, send an email to info@tglmedia.org. We also invite you to visit one of our Winners Chapel churches near you anywhere around the world. Until next time, keep walking in the great light.